In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This, of course, is the Sunday of St. Mary of Egypt. And this gospel is said for her that is so indescribably beautiful. We really can't plumb the depths of it. It's unspeakably beautiful. It's about the power of love. But love is not just this thing that we talk about. It's this complete possession of the soul by God so that we act like God. And this woman who dismissively, St. Luke is not dismissively speaking of her, but he says it in a dismissive manner for emphasis, who was a sinner, understood love because she understood forgiveness. She understood gratitude. I love some of the pithy things that are in the gospel, very simple little things, such as at the very beginning, one of the Pharisees desires to eat with Jesus. That was quite a thing in itself, because that Pharisee must have had some faith. He actually was his name was Simon. And he wanted to eat with Jesus as an elite speaking to someone who was popular. And so, of course, Jesus comes, and I'm sure other people that were of that class came and were seated for dinner. And then this woman, St. Luke says, a woman of the city which was a sinner. What a crude way to refer to a human being. But he says it for emphasis. He says it for reason. This is the way people looked at her. She's a sinner. She's a terrible person. She's a prostitute. Never mind that it's highly likely that some of the elite class availed themselves of her services, but she was a sinner. And she comes to Jesus and is behind him and is basically breaking the rules. What she is doing is dangerous. Simon had the ability to get soldiers and to get her out, have her beaten or even killed, have her roughed up, because she was a sinner. And sinners, they don't associate with the good people. Not in their mind. So she comes in with some danger, but she is compelled to come in. I love this compelling that is in the gospel. You can see it in various places. You can see it where Peter says, where would we go? Things are not going too well right now, but you're all we have. You can see it when the parable of the vineyard, and when the king says, go out into the lanes and the byways and compel them to come in. What does that mean? Some people take it as that God can just compel someone to be saved. That's ridiculous. That's just people that had much too much time on their hands and much too much hate in their heart to come up with an idea like that. The compelling is what this woman had. The compelling is what you and I should have. That compelling is that there's so much awareness of God's love for us, unworthy ones, that we are compelled to act. That there's something within you that just makes you do it. She had to go to Jesus and show her gratitude. It didn't matter what the obstacles were. She had to do it. Just as the women had to anoint what they thought was a dead body, even though there were soldiers in front of the tomb. That's a fool's errand, a dangerous errand. And yet they had to do it. Thomas, even though he said, I don't believe that he's resurrected, had to stay around the disciples, his friends. He couldn't leave and just go away. He was compelled by love. You see how, in the case of Thomas, especially, in the case of the women, the myrrh bearers who were going to anoint a body that was not dead, so they were wrong, they were incorrect. That love that compels us exists also with our infirmities. Even though we're infirm, we are compelled to do something. That's what this woman did. She had to go to the Lord. She was forced to do it. You can see it in the scriptures all over the place. We are compelled if we are Christians. Not by God. Oh no, not at all. By His love. And His love warms us and enlightens us and brings us to some different state that we weren't before. And we must act upon that. You know what it talks about in the scripture about quenching the spirit? If you don't act on this love, that's quenching the spirit. Because naturally, if we are aware of God's love and aware of God's healing us, the undeserved ones, if you're aware of that, then there is a natural compulsion within you that makes you pray more, makes you love more, makes you humble yourself more, makes you struggle more. Now, we all struggle at different levels. All of us are at different abilities. This is not about how lily pure you are in how you live your life, but what is in your heart? Is in your heart the awareness that God has forgiven you, that God is healing you, that you don't deserve any of it, and yet you have it? That's what this woman felt. And that's why she went to the Lord. So she goes to him and anoints him and cries and wipes the tears off of his feet with her hair. And of course, the elite there are standing there, sitting there, completely flabbergasted. They're actually think that this is a horrible, terrible thing. And they're thinking in their hearts, does he know that she's a sinner? That's completely missing the point. I mean, of course he knows she's a sinner. But she's a sinner who feels forgiven, who knows she's forgiven, who wants to offer up because of the love that's welling up in her heart that came from God loving her. She must act. Jesus knows all that. But that's not the point, if he knows she's a sinner or not. The point is, this is a sinner who is now free. They should have been happy that she was free. Instead, they were judging her. Why? Because they didn't feel the love of God in their hearts. So Jesus tries to teach them this at the end of this gospel. And it's sort of like a riddle. And I puzzled over this many, many times. I find it to be incredibly beautiful. I don't think we can really understand the full meaning of it until we're with the Lord. But he says, he's aware that they're mumbling, right? Most of it, the mumbling is just in their mind, but God hears that mumbling as loudly as we hear people speaking. So he rebukes Simon, saying, you didn't give me a kiss, you didn't anoint my feet, etc., etc. And then he describes the woman. He says, wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. That's the compelling that I'm telling you about. And it's all over the scriptures. It should be all over your life. There should be this thing that forces you to do something. It's inside your heart. And you got to do it. It might be that it forces you to become something, to become a priest. I think this compelling made me become a priest. Despite my sins, somehow it eventually came out in ordination to the priesthood, something I didn't expect. Didn't even seek, didn't even really think about it, except that beginning when you're first baptized and you think you're going to be a monk or something holy. But when that wears down, I didn't think about it for years, but there was this compelling within me. What is the compelling within you? Perhaps the compelling within you is to be a nurse. Perhaps the compelling within you is to give to the poor. Perhaps the compelling within you is to pray for the world. I definitely suggest that one. I think everybody should be doing that. Let's not leave that just to the monks. We see right now in the world that we are in the midst of a calamity. The calamity is just beginning. Throughout this year and the next year and the next, we will see the ripples of this calamity in terms of human death, human suffering, economic upheaval, political upheaval, which usually is hand in hand with economic upheaval. All these things are happening and people are suffering. Do you pray for them? Does your heart compel you to pray for them? It should. if we are to be like this woman. And let's look at this statement of Jesus a little bit more in detail. It's impossible really to understand it. I just told you that. But it's still incredibly beautiful. First of all, it's all about love. That's what it's about. Period. This life is to learn to love as God loves, so that we can become like God. We already have his image. Within his image given to us, one of the gifts given to us, is the capacity, the ability, to become such that we love like him. That's one of our attributes. And that we can have knowledge like him, not perfect knowledge, but unobscured knowledge. We can see how knowledge in this world is so dense and so dark, and we have hundreds of things being said about this COVID-19 virus. Hundreds are false statements, hundreds are true statements. Which is which? With all this technology and all this scientific knowledge and all this political opinion, it's hard to know which is which and what is what. But when we are with God in the next life, we'll only have true knowledge. Only the things that are perfect and holy. Those are the only things we will bother to know. There will be no confusion. And that is because we have learned to love. It's all about learning to love. So this woman felt deeply her sin. She had done terrible things. And she must have in some way either had an encounter with Christ or an encounter of one of his disciples and somehow realized that she could extricate herself from her sinful lifestyle. And she was so happy about this, so filled with joy, that the love that welled up in her heart because of the love of God that had been shined upon her forced her to go to Jesus. She felt his forgiveness. She knew it. She was fully aware of it. It was in every pore of her being that she was forgiven for her sin. Now that meant, of course, that she was going to put off her sin. She was going to cease sinning. Probably all at once, but sometimes people can't do all things all at once. The time frame is not so important. It's important if we really feel something deeply in our heart. So, this woman feels deeply the forgiveness of God, and she loves much. And so she expresses her love. Christians can be in a dangerous time sometimes. Let me warn you. If you are given the grace of God and you don't love because of it, then you squander it. And you're like the man who goes into the wedding feast and he takes off his wedding garment, which he's given at the door. And then you have nothing to say to God. Because God will say, I gave you of myself, and what have you done with it? But this woman was given of God. God gave her of himself, and she reacted to this love, this act of love, and gave back. So if we love, we are forgiven. If we are forgiven, and then we love, then we are forgiven more. It's like kind of a circle. But if we do not love, even if we feel we have been forgiven about something, we're not really forgiven. It's all about how we react. Christianity is really very, very simple. Of course, in the Orthodox Church, we have so many things that we do. They're all very good and beautiful. It's good and beautiful that we should follow the fast. Very good and beautiful. It's very necessary for a person's spiritual well-being to follow the fast. Some people can't fast so well. Okay. All right. Some people fast well. All right. I once knew a woman. She fasted very strictly. Very strictly. But there was hatred in her heart. The fasting did her no good whatsoever. We must learn to love. We must react to the love that God gives to us, and then we must spread it abroad. And the thing about love, I've heard this metaphor, maybe it's a little corny, but you know, a candle has a flame. And when you light another candle from that flame, the flame of the preceding candle is not diminished. You can light 1,000 candles, and the candle of the light of that first candle, the frame of the first candle is not diminished. It gives incessantly, perpetually. That's the way love is. Those of us who are parents know this. So you have your first child, and it's pretty amazing to have a child. It's pretty incredible. And you love more than you've ever loved before. And you wonder, what happens if I have a second child? Will there be enough room in my heart? Well, there is, isn't there? There's plenty of room. Your love doesn't diminish as you are giving it to more people. This is the Christian life. Now, we are in a time of great grace right now. We must take advantage of this great grace. Of course, there's calamity. Absolutely. And I'll let other people argue about whether or not God causes calamities or doesn't cause calamities, or if this is in the will of God or anything. And that all bores me. It bores me because I am a human being, a Christian, that is living in this time and in this place under the constraints of this calamity, and I must be a Christian. That's all that matters to me. All the other stuff doesn't interest me a bit. We are Christians, and so this is an opportunity for us that we haven't had probably before in our lives to concentrate in prayer and in other things that we haven't done before because our day has been used up in a different way. Now, for many of us, our day is different. We have more time. Perhaps we feel we have less time, but we have more time if we use it correctly. So let's use the time we have in this time of grace to love. Without love, the world would end. Of course, it's impossible for there not to be love because God is love and God is eternal. But you are responsible for, in some way, adding to that fathomless abyss of love. Perhaps you don't think your love really changes anything. I'll let philosophers argue about that too. It doesn't matter. For you, in your place and in your time and in your moment, you are to love. And that's the Christian life. And the reason why this gospel is said for St. Mary, it should be pretty self-evident. St. Mary was a sinner, wasn't she? She was worse than a prostitute. There was no depravity that she wasn't acquainted with. She literally said in her life that these things, lying in filth, was life to her. And then she came to this moment when she came to herself and realized what she was doing was filthy and horrible and terrible, and she didn't want to do it anymore. So she made a promise to the Mother of God, and she kept it because of love. It was a tough 17 years before she was completely cured of her sensuality, her lust, her desire to drink, and all those other things. And then she lived as an angel. She loved much. And she was forgiven much. So we must love much too. God bless you and help you in all things. Amen.